Next, Mr. Bedlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. We have a couple of important items of business before you. The first one being the 2019 General Labor and Equipment Contract. I tried to give you an overview of how we arrived at the General Labor and Equipment Contract concept, what we have accomplished, your previous actions in awarding the contract 2 years ago, extending it once, a number of scope changes which I've brought before you, so you're familiar with how it works and what we get done under this contract. It has its limitations, but it is working well for us. We have, for the first time now, been able to advertise a best value approach again with the actual underlying data we had for 2 years' worth of work. So what you see in the contract advertisement today is actually the last 12 months running worth of actual utilization. So the first time we did this, and even the one extension, we did not have that base data in there of how much, let's say, backlog of work we have and how quickly we can get it done. Now we have a pretty good feeling for this. So hopefully in the future, I will not be appearing before you as often with scope changes.
That's good.
With scope changes.
I'm just those.
Because we have, this should be close to a 1 year scope. What you saw advertised was a 3 year list of items. Because if the contract is extended by you, based on our recommendation, and the contractor's performance 12 months from now, then we do not have to have modifications to the scope as advertised. That's important. That's a legally important step, and we made sure that that is the case. So having said that, I just want to assure you with that we have tried to make it as competitive as possible. We send out 12 invitations and 12 holders of the documents. 10 of them were general contractors, not of the breadth of the two companies responding. Really, I see only 4 companies in Delaware with the capabilities of doing this amount of work on a general labor and equipment basis. 4 of them, not the same 4, but 3 of the 4, I believe, were really qualified, were represented at the pre-bid meeting. In the end, only 2 choose to bid. I can't say we can't make them bid or not bid. However, we got 2 very good companies to bid. You certainly are familiar with George and Lynch. But Ada Construction, very big company, growing company in the utility world, very successful in a multi-million dollar Rehoboth project right now, which we are partners in. So I think we got 2 good bids. You saw the diversity of the bid, and that sort of reflects the approach people take in terms of what kind of profit they'd like to get out of it and what they think in terms of an effort it takes to administer such a project. So I think it clearly reflects some of George and Lynch's thinking and some of Adel's thinking. Now, last not least, I'd like to make one statement. I compared the unit prices and of the ones we have reused. We introduced a lot more quantities, but the ones we reused, I compared the original George and Lynch bid for 2 years ago to the one we have today. It's about a 10% difference, give or take a couple percent, across these dozens of categories. Now, keep in mind, 10% on the surface would appear high, but you have to understand they have to hold the price for 3 years. This is when you choose to extend the next year based on performance, the price does not change. So they have to build that thinking into their pricing model. So 2 years ago versus 3 years from now, now 10% looks almost low because we know inflation is creeping up below above the 2% mark. And so I am very pleased to see the pricing they have. So coming to a conclusion, I feel the concept served the county well. We have done successful work. You've extended it once, and we have a successful bid before you with an award recommendation.
Have a motion?
I do have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Bid be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the total bid for contract 19-01 FY 2019 general labor and equipment contract be awarded to George and Lynch Incorporated of Dover, Delaware in the amount of $4,827,190.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. President. Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions?
Only $4 million.
Mr. Wilson.
Only $4 million.
Did I hear you say only?
Only $4
million? Yes, $4 million is actually representing the same quantities, Mr. Wilson, as we've had in the last 12 months running. So I don't think we can push more through. There's probably a higher need for us to push more through, but it is not doable between the contractor and us. If we wanted to push more through and extend it beyond the only $4 million, we would probably need to break it into contracts.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next one is before you. It's the first one for you. However, it is all contractually based. We are awarding a change order under our memorandum with the Town of Blades for the water portion of the Concord Road project. I have to take you back a couple of steps. This is a joint award. We're doing everything on a reimbursement basis. We're not incurring any debt for us. However, we are the contracting party, and you as the contracting party, based on the recommendation of the consultant, the approval of the town, and the recommendation of your county engineer, are essentially taking a contractual step without expanding your financial responsibility. So it's an unusual thing, but the underlying legal work is in place, and we have our president has visited the site a couple of times and hopefully concurs with the progress to date. And I do have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract 15-03, Concord Road Utility Upgrade Expansion of the Blade Sanitary Sewer District be approved, which increases the contract amount by $31,776.86 for a new total, that's an overall total just, of $2,435,558.86.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Wilson. Questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank
next,
you, Mr.
Sir.
President. The next one is the, I'd love to say long awaited, but I don't know whether you've really been waiting for it, but we have. it is a, let me first reiterate something I have said to a couple of you council members privately. Thank you, Mr. Kramer. I got my mic now ready. This is a multi-divisional effort and even a multi-department effort. The planning department assisted in certain aspects of the development of the code, especially when it came to the interaction with the comprehensive plan, the tier system, and the certification of utility contract utilities, the CPCN process piece. I can honestly say all divisions of the engineering department actively participated in the development. I'd like to sort of really acknowledge a few of our division director, you know, Mr. Hawks, Mr. Ashman, Mr. Brady, Mr. Tenefoss, and Ms. Dickerson were all actively involved in a number of review sessions. We had an established outside peer review group, and so unlike the 99 changes which you saw last year, almost just exactly a year ago. Mm-hmm. Heavy lifting was done by the internal forces. The heavy review was done by the peers. We integrated all the peer reviews into our document, so there's no unresolved peer review issues hanging out there. I'm not saying there's no issues hanging out there, but there's no peer review issues hanging out there. And what you see before you is full credit to our counselor having brought it into this world, so into this legal world, and he will give you the update when we do the introduction, why it looks the way it looks. Certainly credit goes to him. So having said this, I'll try to keep it as short as possible, because it is pretty dry stuff.
Sound like you got a road pretty dangerous here.
Yes. We did put together an agenda so the public can see, the public and our regular visitors can see all the points we're going to discuss. Why did we do it? There's a number of points why we did do it. A couple of the ones, you've seen that in its sort of abbreviated form a couple of times over the last 12 months, and that had to do with the EDU introduction of the EDU assessment, and it had to do with the unified sewer district approach. They touched the main pieces, the main articles, but when you go into depth, despite the fact that we tried to touch them all, there were a number of cross-references in other articles which had to be adjusted in accordance to make these items 1 and 2 fully integrated. The sewer connection charges, the way they were currently described in the code, is not how the finance department has and will apply them in the future. So we're looking at 30-year-old code language versus bringing it up to date today to make sure the sewer collection charge as implemented today and as implemented in the future will be fully defensible. We have also participated, engineering department obviously, in the comprehensive planning effort. This is the integration of a anticipated adoption of the comprehensive plan with some good legal language not to preempt the final adoption. So it is a standalone. We feel comfortable even if changes are made to the final comp plan document, the code as presented will work, and it will work well. As you know, you've seen probably a dozen or more infrastructure use agreements, which allows people to buy into existing capacity, and I have a slide later on why we have capacity. You have authorized these, but there was no legal baseline for this. So this creates the legal baseline, allowing the debt service catch-up for bringing these use agreements in on the formulas. By council's desire and commitment to create affordable housing in the county, that is a direct tie-in to these efforts. We have presented to you an EDU category of 1 or smaller, which would allow anything which has residential 1 EDU or less to be charged with a lesser impact sewer connection charge, because it does represent a smaller impact. You cannot physically fit 10 visitors, seasonal visitors, into a 1-bedroom apartment.
You want to bet?
Barring UD students.
For years, we've taken, using the front footage, we had the multifamily, and we had a minimum of 40 feet.
We still do.
Okay, that doesn't change. So somebody builds a condominium complex, we don't use the front footage of the big building. We hit each one of them. So what's the difference in, say, what is the definition of a small EDU?
The definition is a separate 1-bedroom and 1-bath. Or less. So you can have units which have no separate 1-bedroom, they have a integrated, like a efficiency or cottage.
Garage apartment.
That would all fall under the 1 or less category. Let me touch on what you asked before. Remember, it says today, and it will say in the future, you are charged the higher of the two, either the actual front footage of the condo units, or the 40-foot minimum times the number of EDUs. So if you choose to create a condo complex, which is all one bedroom or smaller, all efficiencies or one bedrooms, they are now charged at a less than one rate. Then you would have, instead of 30 times whatever 40, you could potentially have like 25 times 40, because now the number, the total of EDUs, if it's all one bedrooms, would be less than one each.
I guess I'm chewing. I'm going to noodle on that a little bit.
I will show you the math offline.
You know, I just get concerned that we're motels. Room is
Category has not changed.
It's
separate category.
Because it's commercial or
no separate usage assessment category.
Okay. But there needs to be. I think there needs to be a clear definition of what would fall into that.
It
less
is.
Than one EDU.
It is.
I mean, it has to be, you know, no gray area, nothing, because if there is a gray area, somebody's going to abuse it.
There is no gray area.
We may end up coming up short with their capacity because of, you know, some future development down the road that we're not aware of at this point.
Councilman, we're using the planning department definition on that particular issue because these are land use type categories.
Okay. All right.
So we are, I feel.
Agreed.
Councilor also feels we are airtight.
These guys are touchy-feeling.
Airtight.
yeah, I guess that's a good move.
Highlights continue. We're good? Highlights continued. The code was amended so many times it had definitions in various locations. It had two large definition sections and individual definitions sprinkled throughout. So we took them all, analyzed them all. Council helped us create some more legal definitions. We brought some of the land use definitions in, and now we have one consolidated definition set which applies to Chapter 110. That was a heavy lift, but it is very important and it was good. We now created two freestanding bulletins. One is the technical bulletin, the other one's called the Sussex County Sewer and Water Standards. We revised the assessment standards in a few over and undercharge categories. You have a financial slide later. I'm going to jump to the conclusion right now. This is not a revenue producer or a revenue loss. Ms. Jennings and I analyzed it carefully. It is revenue neutral as much as we can make it. We took the highest overcharge ones and the lowest undercharged ones and adjusted them in such a way that it more truly reflects the actual impact on the system and the continued impact on the system. And I give you the prime examples. The convenience store world was undercharged significantly, and the large retail side, whether that is a grocery store or a large, a large shoe store, were grossly overcharged. So we combined the two assessments and looked at the numbers. We have all the data upstairs and created the adjustments so that all these various, and it's really truly about six, would come out revenue neutral and meet the actual impact to the system. So having said that, the previous chapter was created over a course of 30, 40 years. And when you try to read through this, it was inconsistent and not really, it did not follow a common thread. When you read it from beginning through end, you were wondering how certain things just landed in there almost arbitrarily.
Yeah. You couldn't follow it intuitively, you know, that you'd think that if you were looking for a specific issue or item, it wouldn't be following something that, you know, you were previously looking at. It could be buried someplace else. It just was not organized very well. Not intentionally, but as Hans said, just because of all the amendments over the years.
It was a historic outgrowth, and the consequence was that the public and the customer had a hard time understanding the code. We had a hard time interpreting the code, which also led to, I hate to say it, but memos, policies, procedures, dozens of them stacked over the years in various divisions of the engineering department to deal with that inconsistency. So when you hear a counselor speak later, all this goes away. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is a document here, and I told my staff, once you approve it after the public hearing process, all the memos, procedures, and policies can be put aside. Number seven is sort of interesting because, let's talk about six. There are certain pieces in there which we don't even do anymore, and we should have never done in the first place. I'll give you a prime example. We should not be in the septic tank abandonment inspection business. It's a state requirement. It's a state permit issue. All we inherit in this world is liability. And we don't collect a fee. We don't issue a permit. But we had it written in the code. So stuff like that had to come out and was cut. The clarification of the creator and voter eligibility. This is above and beyond what Title IX says. It clarifies certain things, how we actually administer these. In addition, we cannot change Delaware law.
Right.
Mr. Morris, give me the, be careful what you say. So Vince wants to say what it had to do with absentee voting.
Yeah, so just for the sewer district referendums, we clarified what was in Chapter 110, so it more lined up with what's in Title IX. There was some differences there. I think it makes it so it's uniform and everybody can understand it more clearly.
Give you a prime example. It's like Delaware Title IX does not tell you how to send out and receive affidavits.
Right.
That's a clear thing where we could take on and say, okay, we can put that step. How would we deal with it in here? That's a good example. The tier system, we talked a little about, you've seen it. We've certainly now kicked the tires a little bit more, and I think when you read the actual language of the tier system, and we did run this in the peer group, we also had regulated utilities. So we got some feedback they had some tweaking recommendations which have been integrated. So I think we are on good footing with our partners who also provide sewer service in the county. We already talked about the assessment, the availability. Yes, sewer service availability. So right now, we don't differentiate between you receiving sewer service and you having the availability of sewer service. And so we created that slight distinction, and the finance department will continue to analyze this particular issue. And we will, since we now have the option, we can wade into it whether we want to set it at 99%, 100%, or at 90%. But at least we have a defensible, division between the two. And we have reason why we define availability as such, so it's clearly understood. If you have service available to you, we need to be able to recognize that. The next one is an important distinction, and I think you all agreed to. If you are creating a need in our sewer system and in our enterprise fund for capacity, if you're taking up capacity, you are responsible for the charge which is associated with that capacity. And there were some, we had some exceptions to that, and we wanted to close that loop. I've discussed that with a couple of you previously, and I think you understand. This is a minor impact to the overall system. However, for the fairness issue, we believe that the impact should apply to all of us, regardless of status of the entity. You have discussed in a number of workshops, I'm going to bring it again next week, the self-supporting septic rate. It's now built into the code, and that way our customers, our enterprise customers, whether they are customers via hauling or customers via flushing, understand these are two cost centers. They stand alone, and they don't subsidize each other. So that is a very important concept. I think you 100% supported it in the last two budget workshops you have. That's just now a codified version. We are introducing the sewer service concept evaluation. This was well received. One of the main criticisms we as the engineering department received over the 2.5 years of my service plus the years before I came here was that the concept plan way to work system expansions was cumbersome, it was iterative, and it was not straightforward. And it costs more money than we plan to charge. So I think the peer review has received it well, and that was from the development as well as the engineering world. And I think I have convinced our engineering staff that it is in our best interest. If we want to guide the system expansion, we should be able to say how we want it and not wait for the regulated community to come forward and tell us how they want it. So we then have to go through the iterative process to tell them no several times. It is much better to just state from the get-go what we want and what's in the best interest of the town. So, in a nutshell, I said to my staff, we will not accept any further pump stations which will not stand on their own and will be loss leaders. So, and you know what that means. We have to be able to support our system, and we can't just tell. The development entity cannot just say, just because I want to build 50 units over here, I'm going to have my own pump station. No. We will tell them how we want to serve the parcel. A couple of new programmatic introductions, and Ms. Jennings is smiling because I'm using big words. So, the new fire service suppression. This is a service we provide for free right now, but it does cost us. It cost us in availability, it cost us in inspection, which we don't get, and it cost us in maintenance and locates. So we have to have a way to recover the cost we incur for this service. It is not many, we have a few dozen, but more and more of the big builders in the residential world want sprinkled residential buildings. And we should recognize it, and we should provide it, and we introduced the pathway to it. And we would set the fee in the annual budget process based on we have tracked and we have a pretty good idea what it costs us to do these things. So we want to make sure that we reimburse our services. Concept evaluation, I told you before, and again that deals with, it's a new concept, it is a revenue center, but it's a welcome revenue center by the regulated community because it's a faster, clearer, and less expensive pass for them, so they're on board with it. These are design details, and they greatly show you why we have existing capacity to sell. But the existing capacity we have is paid for by your previously connected users, and hence the infrastructure use agreements are catching the new customer up with what has been paid by the previous customer and realizing the fact that from here forward you should be on equal financial footing. So the reason for the first one is modern plumbing has caught up with us, and modern plumbing does not generate 300 gallons per day on average, not even with all the UD students on average. So,
I know, but shouldn't we err on the side of caution? In other words, shouldn't we engineer it to be too large as opposed to be rich?
Councilman Cole,
on the number?
You as a owner of more than one rate-paying structure in the sewer district, the uniform sewer district, you are subsidizing this effort. So you like to continue to subsidize the effort?
Well, in a lot of systems, one group subsidizes the next group. Our school taxes, I help subsidize the next generation. So when it comes to sewer service, and this stuff will all have to be dug up soon and replaced, it does have a lifespan, and the costs are not going down in the future. So I would just still think it would be better to err on the side of greater capacity or whatever than just meeting the needs, because they build these schools nowadays based on how many students they have, and as soon as they're done, so they're broken. So
two responses to your good comments. The first one is the sewer connection charges deal with the capacity expansion. Mm-hmm. And in the new definition and in the way we apply it, it is truly taken care of. This just essentially creates the design buffer. A modern home, on average, produces less than 200 gallons per day. We still do not go below 250. So here you have a 25%, let's call it UD factor of safety, seasonal occupancy built in. Secondly, you never design for average, you always design for peak. However, you try to come up with a peak which is truly representative of what is happening out there. And we've had a peaking factor of 3 across the board in our code. Now we base it on a formula, because if you have 1,000 EDUs, the peaking factor is much smaller than if you have 100 EDUs. And that has to do with just not everybody has the same habits, and not everybody has the same commercial patterns. So the more units you connect to that sewer basin, the less peaking you have and the more spread your usage is. So having said this, the formula more truly represents that thinking. It's now a national thinking. It has sort of worked its way in a lot of codes over the years in the United States and across the world. And we are just sort of catching up with that. So we're not shortchanging you, Councilman. We are, however, relieving you of subsidization. That does not mean that the overall user charge does not carry some overall system debt. For the capacity expansions we do on the transmission and treatment side, which are what we call compliance-based, which means aging infrastructure, which has to be upgraded and removed and replaced for compliance purposes, should be paid for by all connected users. And that's an underlying principle. And we have not deviated, neither one of us, from that underlying principle. Does that make you feel better? Or comfortable, I should say.
I'll just say that
I think I was listening.
We get to have a public hearing on this if it gets introduced, so you get to listen to it in even more
again,
detail.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess, like I said, I don't know how to argue with you. You're the engineer.
You made a good question. I tried to address your comment and wanted to make sure that you feel...
My question was short. The response was long.
That is true. I stand it. Guilty as charged.
How do you measure gallons? Do you put
dipstick?
Strangely enough, we do still have a good number of meters in Dewey Beach, so we have sort of a baseline what a new house, even on our system uses in a seasonal environment. But there's national numbers, Councilman Wilson, which you know.
So who's doing the reading? Who's doing our reading for us?
We do our own. Now, what I like to do is, and we have done this, I like to put selective meters on wastewater pump stations. And let's say if we have a meter on Coastal Club, for example. So we know the daily flow out of Coastal Club, based on our meter, we divide it by the number of houses connected. That's where these numbers come from. So these are not bad numbers. They are system. They truly reflect the system numbers. Mr. Lawson and I used that same principle in Allendale when we sort of sized the water consumption.
You sort of generalize. Is that what you're saying?
Pardon me?
You sort of generalize on them.
Yes, it is an average. It is not, except for when we just target one house in Dewey for that analysis. That's not an average. But normally we're working in averages.
Are you done, Sam?
Go ahead, George.
No, I was just going to say, when it comes to the demographics and all that, and the seasonal stuff, 10, 20 years, an area that's seasonal may not be seasonal anymore. It may be, I mean, we've seen communities go from the thought was going to be mostly, seasonal ownership and ends up 70-80%, you know, after a couple years of year-round people. So, I mean, even in other communities where, you know, families are here today, those families, the kids all go away, next thing you got older couples, so the size changes. But then after a few years, it changes again. So the, you know, you've got this kind of ups and downs of demographics and changes. And I mean, how do you reflect that? Because I don't know how much the seasonal thing is in your crazy calculation that you gave me. How much emphasis do you put on seasonal and transient and all that stuff?
We put the utmost emphasis on peak. Sewer, just like electricity, is a peak business. Because, you know, you have to provide the infrastructure to meet that instantaneous 15-minute peak, because you as the customer don't want to be told you have to stop using the infrastructure to create an average. So the peak is covered, and the peak in our world is always seasonal, believe it or not.
Well, I understand, but the population is changing so much in this county so fast, and most of it's in the eastern part of the county. So the peaks today won't be the same in 5 years, 10 years, right?
We have some very good, what you're seeing today is the 4th of July peak is still the highest peak in the year.
Sure.
However, the system is designed to meet that peak, and it will be designed in the future to meet that peak. But what we see now, the difference between the November 15th flow and the July 4th flow, that difference has shrunk. There's no question. That is, we are moving away from being a highly seasonal system. That is very true. Now, let me point out to 2B, and I give you one example. Mr. President, do I have 60 seconds on this?
You're getting very close.
3 minutes. 3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay.
Of our allotted thought process of timing for this presentation.
This is kind of like first grade. We got about, attention span.
Might be not very good.
10, 12 minutes.
You are familiar with Pump Station 54 in North Bethany. You are?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Utilizes it.
This pump station was designed many years ago, over 25 years ago.
Okay.
We took the pumps out and replaced them based on actual knowledge we have now of the fully built out system. We're reducing it from 100 horsepower to a 30 horsepower pump, and we're still meeting the peak. Now read the last one. For 25 years, we've been paying for the maintenance and the power consumption of this equipment, which was never used. It's coming out now because it failed. So that is not the best use of your money. And you, as a ratepayer of the area, you paid for it.
There you go.
So engineers in the past were wrong, and so engineers in the future won't be?
Engineers in the past were overly conservative.
Okay.
That's because George was on the council. George was on the council that time.
The financial aspects, we talked about the Holloway, the assessment changes. What we haven't touched is emergency disconnects. Right now, we only charge for after hours, but it is your request whether it happens at 4 in the morning or at 10 in the morning. We still have to stop what we're doing. We go out, service your request. So Ms. Jennings and I recommend that we should charge to service your request. And I think hopefully you would agree with us. The new programs, the fire service, we talked about the concept evaluation and the infrastructure use agreements. We just lumped them here together so you can see these are financial issues which are hitting Chapter 110. Time frame, we are at the introduction. You have given us a hearing date. We are committed to finalize the two free standing tech docs. They are 95% finished. The budget will establish the fees. Ms. Jennings and I are talking about the fees. We have all of them in there. And July 1, the ordinance would take effect if adopted. That's the effective date as we envision it, because of the tie-in to the number of the financial aspects. It is upon us to, upon adoption, notify the affected public. That's really, we pretty much know how we can get that out quickly. we have to create a couple of new forms, and we have to, as I said, finalize the two freestanding documents, which are very, very, very close. I think I made it.
Right on time.
I would just add one thing, too. This mirrors what we did in the street design standards. We put everywhere we could, we tried to put the fees back to council, so it's part of the budget adoption process. That was something that was good that came out of that, and I think that's more transparent. And that way you all can see those fees on an annual basis, and if adjustments need to be made, they can be done that way on the through the budget process rather than revising the code.
The only exception, and the council and I certainly discussed that with Ms. Jennings at length, is the pre-treatment-related charges. If we were to pick up industry, we have seven categories where they could cost us expense, then we are allowed to recover that in a charge. That is not something you would set in the budget,
right.
So that's the only exception. Everything else is set in the budget.
So with that, Mr. President, I think it moves on to me under the agenda for the discussion and possible introduction of the ordinance that Mr. Medlars just went through. And I'm sure that you all will be happy to hear that I don't have anything to add to what Mr. Medlars just stated, except for just the process. This is the first time, I think, that at least in a long time, that rather than do line item amendments of Chapter 110, because as Mr. Medlars stated, there was a lot of reorganization going on, a lot of deletion of extra stuff, and that sort of thing. We completely deleted Chapter 110. So if you're looking at the ordinance, you'll see a bracket on page 2 and a closed bracket on page 90. That's the existing Chapter 110. So that all comes out. And then starting on page 90 through page 164, you'll see that everything is underlined and in italics. That's the new ordinance that's going in. So the short title even reflects that. It's in a deleting the prior ordinance and adopting an amended and restated Chapter 110. And it does adhere to the Wilson rule in that we were 90 pages of ordinance that were taken out, and I think 74 pages of ordinance that were put back in. So we lost 16 pages of code.
Good for you.
There you go. We are very conscious of that going into that. Unless there's any other questions, what we would like to do is get this introduced so that we can have the public hearing on the 22nd, I think, was the date.
Mr. Morgan, you need a short title?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 110, by deleting that chapter in its entirety and amending and restating it in its entirety.
I make a motion.
No, you just need me to introduce it?
That's correct.
I make a motion.
Mr. Wilson introduces it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience, Mr. President and Council
members.
We're
patient people.